Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh? I'm your host, Owen Benjamin. And it's been a little while since I've done one of these, and I apologize for the wait. Definitely a lot of moving parts in my life these days, which I will get to. I wanted to do one because some of you wrote me that you miss them, which made me feel awesome. So it's the least I can do, and I clearly like doing the podcast, but it's been some upheaval in my life. Before I get started, coasters. A few of you have bought coasters recently and written to me that they were all wet. And I feel really bad about that. And obviously, not only will I replace them, I'll throw in a free, awesome Feed the Bear hat. What happens when you make your own stuff? Like, I make my own coasters with the trees that my brother and I will chop down when he's doing tree work. And I used a new poly, which I'm guessing at this point is really bad with moisture. And maybe the wood, there's something wrong with the wood, but I feel bad. And I know you guys buy them to help me, not necessarily because you love the coasters, even though they're fantastic and they are way more expensive at Crate and Barrel, and mine are significantly better typically. So that's why, just write to me. Don't feel bad about it. Email me. Two people did already. And they're very nice, but very firm. They said, love you, Big Bear, but the coasters came, they were wet. And so let's make it right. All right, the new hour special is almost done. We're now on our third cut. And it looks pretty sick. The one we taped in Manchester, that was completely crowdfunded. And we're already on our way to the next hour special. So if you want to donate, go to hugepianist.com. It's not just a donation. It's you can be a producer on something awesome. Because I just, I'm going to list on this special coming up. I just posted on Patreon and I emailed the people that donated that I like what name you want me to list for the credits. Because I'm going to list you as producers. Because unlike Harvey Weinstein, I have good producers. Like, they're good people. And I want them known. Because we can just make our own comedy now. And I think a lot of the stuff that's happening in Hollywood is because it's a failing concept. And they're just grasping at straws at this point. And we'll get to all that. Trust me, some crazy stuff has went down. Orlando, I'm doing the improv. The third or fourth weekend in Orlando in October. I don't know how it goes this month because they moved me last minute. I was supposed to be doing this weekend, but they moved me to, I believe, the weekend of the 24th, up until the 29th, that weekend. And then November 1st, I believe I'm doing Joe Rogan again, which is awesome. That guy's such a force in this world. Much love to that dude. I'm currently doing a bunch of sketches with Steven Crowder. So you'll be seeing those on the YouTubes. And November, I also have another weekend. There's one weekend that I'm on the road in November. I just can't remember which one. Got a huge pianist to figure that one out. Okay, so this is what happened to me. I'm sure most of you guys follow me on social media and you've probably seen some crazy stuff that's went down. There was a guy, it all started with Mel Brooks said that political correctness is ruining comedy. And Mel Brooks has made Blazing Saddles. He's a legend, right? And I saw these comedians talking shit about Mel Brooks, where they were saying, like, well, Mel Brooks doesn't know what he's talking about. He's part of the patriarchy, or, you know, this garbage. John Hodgman was one of them, and so was Paul F. Tompkins. This is how it all started. Was them saying, like, we want to be on the right side of history, and if words evolve, if you're going to be a comedian and you need to say these words, then you, sir, are not a comedian. Just nonsense. John Hodgman, who's the PC guy in those PC commercials. Bear in mind, I met him. We're like distant buddies. You know, I always thought he was a good guy. I met him doing a right-wing morning radio show in Chicago. There's this dude called Mad Cow. in the morning. And I met him there, and I used to go, classic Hodgman. And he'd go, textbook Benjamin. And so then to see him say that no one's allowed to do ethnic jokes. Okay, well, I used to open for Julio Iglesias, Enrique's father. And it was all Hispanic women that barely spoke English. And I remember they told me, do ethnic jokes. They really liked those. And over the years, I performed in front of, at this point, hundreds of thousands of people. And there's hate, which comedy is not. Comedy is the opposite of hate. It's set in love. It's set in pushing boundaries. It's set in being a bit of a trickster. It's set in release. Good comedy is about release. And release of racial or ethnic stereotypes or tensions is great for people's souls. And I've really gotten pretty good at it over the years, performing in Cleveland in front of an 80% black crowd, performing in San Antonio in front of a Hispanic crowd, you know, Miami, Cuban, you know, then you got the white gays in San Francisco, and, you know, it's just all different. So I write to him about that, and same with Paul F. Tompkins. This guy, I mean, I like a show he's on called BoJack Horseman. He does a voice on it, and I've always had distant respect for him, but I can't name a joke he's ever written. He did the same shit, and I'm like, and I'm just, I called him out. I'm not being mean. I'm just like, what are you guys doing? Like, you can't, A, the hubris it takes to go at Mel Brooks or Seinfeld or Chris Rock or any of these guys that have all of them have panned political correctness. And then Hodgman was like writing to me like, oh, well, you don't know, and all this bullshit. I'm like, okay, his boss, he has a big podcast. You know, like Hodgman has like 2 million Twitter followers. He went to Yale. You know, he's one of those guys. And his boss, this guy is NPR host. His name's Jesse Thorne. Owns the podcast network, I believe. Very powerful guy in extreme left-wing propaganda media. And he has a six-year-old who identifies as a girl, even though it's a boy. So I bring this up. I say, maybe you should triage. I think I used the word triage. I think it's a pretty good word. It's like, maybe you should triage your values, man, or like whatever's going on. Like, triage at an accident is like first responders would come to a scene, and if one person has like an artery, it's pumping blood, you go with that person before someone has a scrape, right? So this guy, John Hodgman, is now attacking all of jokes with anything to do with ethnicities, even though those have existed for thousands of years, right? Well, his boss is telling his six-year-old boy he's a girl. Okay. So I'm like, maybe you should get your values straight. Like, the person who writes your checks, who's in charge of your livelihood, who gives you your power, your voice, the hubris that makes you think, Icarus, you can fly near the sun, is doing something pretty bad to a little kid. Right? And so that's when the swarm came at me. How dare you? How dare you? But this is the beauty about having a loving life and having a family that you put above yourself and being proud of your choices. I am a deeply flawed man. I'm a hypocrite. I try not to be. I have lust and greed and envy and all those fun emotions. I battle them all the time, right? But I battle them. I battle them. There's a few I'm battling right now that I'm going to share. And I think that is the difference. Is am I trying to not be that? I'll never get there. I'll never get to the place of the moral righteous, because I'm a human. But I try, right? And this dude not only isn't trying, he's going the opposite way. Like he's engaged in something very twisted, and because of that, is becoming this moral martyr, right? So everyone is coming at me. And I know that what I'm saying is accurate. And my fear melts away because I have a wife that loves me. I have a son that looks at me for guidance in this world. And that's probably what made me try to be good. You know, I've always kind of tried, but not really. Now it's like, I need to not let him down, you know? And so normally, I've been swarmed in the past for things I know I'm right about. Like, I knew a guy, an open micer, who got gunned down by police, and he was unarmed. And he was running away from a criminal, and the cops shot him 8 times. He died, and he was white, and it never made national news. And when Michael Brown was popping, this also happened. So I did a post, and it got hundreds of thousands of shares, like, immediately. I deleted it because of all the negative heat I was getting. Because in L.A., you can't go down that road. So I just deleted it out of fear, you know? Oh, no, they're coming at me. Same thing happened with Beyonce, you know, and she did her Black Power stance. I compared it to what that's identity politics. That's racial identity politics. I compared it to what if someone did a Ku Klux Klan dance. Of course, people just came at me. I was a coward. I backed down. I did kind of one of those apologies that Galileo did. When Galileo was going to be executed for saying, was it Galileo? Well, Copernicus said, I don't know. Well, Galileo said that the Earth wasn't the center of the universe. And the Catholic Church made him apologize. And in his apology, I'm pretty sure it's Galileo, he said, the celestial bodies are all static, but yet they move. You know, and I pulled one of those things where I said, you know, if you're white, you know, never attack Beyonce and be very, very quiet. You know, sarcastic. But I still really made it. I really tried. I think I believed I was wrong for a little while because of the Stockholm syndrome. But anyway, so at this point, I'm not backing down because I regretted backing down about the Beyonce thing. I regretted backing down about the shooting. And this time I'm just not, because we're talking about an innocent child, right? So the guy writes to me like, hey, so I hear you have something to say about little Gracie. And I'm like, how do you know your son is a girl? And he's like, well, it's gender identity. Like, just all the nonsense that we all hear. So it started before he was 3. Bear in mind, when you're 3, 6, 8, 10, 15, you can't make these decisions. And these are high stakes, because what I gathered from talking to him and asking him direct questions is that they will put this child on puberty blockers. So the hormones, the natural endocrine system does not kick in, and this little boy never becomes a man. He will be sterile. And it was all because of stuff that he, the way he acted when he was 3. How do you show gender at 3? You don't. You don't. You're genderless. You know, you might go boom on a truck or something like my son does, or there's no gender, guys. You're an innocent child. Like, when I was a little kid, I wove a lot of cloth. I played a lot of piano. I didn't have a gender, you know, and then the endocrine system kicks in and you go, this is evil, because A, people started saying, you're attacking a trans child. No, I'm not. If your 6-year-old's on Twitter, you're a terrible parent. And I'm standing up for a child who is now being told, children want to impress their parents. They want to say, my son, Walter, pretends to play the piano because I smile, because I play the piano, and he wants to make me proud, right? So this left-wing house cat powerful man probably is constantly talking about how trans people are so brave and bullshit, you know, whatever the new progressive move is. And this kid is probably like, yes, daddy, just like you want. Am I pretty now, daddy? It's twisted, right? So I'm not backing down. People are calling me, you know, the trans mafia starts coming at me. Blue check marks are flying too. These are like real people. These aren't just bots. LA swarming, right? And they're calling me like just human garbage and all this stuff. And I'm like, do you want to put hormone blockers on kids? Then you shouldn't be around kids. And one of these trans people like writes for a little kid show on the Amazon network. I don't even know what Amazon is, but it's getting very powerful. And they're like, did you just call me a child predator? I'm like, yeah, you're predatory. It's like, did you just associate that with pedophilia? I go, no, predatory. And I'm like, but in my mind, I'm like, a lot of these people, I'm guessing, may be pedophiles. It's like, to genderize a child is, in a way, to sexualize a child. Because gender identity is, in evolutionary ways, is to procreate. Like, what makes a man, what makes a woman? You can dance all you want about the roles. No, it's for sex and children, because that's what you're on the planet. You do that and then you die off, and then the next generation does that, and that's how the parts fit. And I even make statements. I'm like, I'm not anti-transgender. If you're an adult and you want to do that, go for it. Play around with what you are. Be, express what you are. I will never take rights from you. Not that I have that power. That's like one of the funniest things ever. Everyone thinks they have all these powers. I'm like, I will never support legislation to take your rights, but you can't do this to a child. And it just wouldn't stop. So long story longer is my agent drops me. CAA, I've been with them for 10 years. And my agent is a married gay man with two adopted children. He knows I'm not a hateful guy. I've been with him for years. We've been through the trenches together. He's come to my house in LA with his kid and husband, and we swam in a pool happily. Like, he knows I'm not hateful. And so he said, and listen, I'm not holding it against him. He's just doing his thing. But he said, I can't represent you anymore. And it's on email too. It's hilarious. And I was like, why? Like, do you agree with them? And he was like, no, I don't think that, but it's how you handled it. And that's the key. That's the key. It's because I named him. I looked at one person in the eye, cyber eye, and I said, you. I didn't, like, what celebrities are supposed to do is they just say patriarchy, sexism, or they don't name a person because that terrifies these people, you know? Because if you're without fear, it's kryptonite. They're done because these people are predators. And a predator doesn't always mean sex, but it does mean power. And it means putting yourself and your own needs above the needs of the innocent. And you will eat your own kid's future if it gets you brownie points in this culture. Okay, so he said that they couldn't represent me anymore because of how I handled myself. And I said, this isn't your strength as a comedian. Like this rage, this aggression. I go, it is though. And you know it is. And it always has been. My new special is literally called Feed the Bear. And I was like that in pushing for gay marriage. Like what he got to experience. Because back then they loved when I did it because I followed the narrative. I would Christian fundamentalists are coming at me. I'm taking them down, right? Just with their, same with what I'm doing with this guy. Now, my position on gay marriage has shifted. I still believe in gay marriage when it is about rights. When I want everyone to have the same right that I have legally, which is to get married, make decisions on your deathbed for somebody else, marriage. And when the state's involved, I don't want the state to exclude someone based on their sexuality. So that's why I've always been pro-gay marriage, right? My new position is marriage shouldn't be a state thing. Because to see what happened after gay marriage, I'm now questioning that whole thing. And I think some of my Christian right friends that I was such a dick to 8 years ago, I am now apologizing to. Because they said, they're going to come for your kids. And we all said, oh, you crazy right-wingers. They'll never do that. You're just homophobic. They go, they're going to come for your kids. And they did. They came for the kids. Now they're dressing up a little three-year-old like a goddamn girl. And then they're not going to let him go through puberty. And it's in front of everyone, and everyone remains silent. And this is a famous man, a man with power, a man deep in the heart of the culture of this country and the world in a lot of ways. And everyone just says, he's doing what's right for his child. No, he the fuck is not. And that's not an attack on a child. That's defense of a child. And all you fuckers that are quiet and attacking me and calling me garbage, not that you're watching this, you're probably just cutting your own dick off. But you're complacent, and I'll get to that. It's called enabling. And I sleep good at night. So anyway, this dude, I'm out, right? That was a week before the Harvey Weinstein thing popped. Okay, this is what I'm trying to watch out for now, these emotions. It's so unbelievable, the timing. It's the same agency that sent Gwyneth Paltrow to get raped by Harvey Weinstein. This is now public. Is the one that dropped me because of my problematic behavior at calling out a sexual predator, potentially. Definitely a predator. A child predator. So this is what I'm trying to watch out for. Is there's something called schadenfreude. It's a German word that means that you take joy or delight in someone else's suffering. Because I am right now, and I don't want to. And another thing I'm trying to watch out for is I don't want to weaponize being a victim myself, because I am a victim right now. I was fired from a college that week, $7,500. They wrote me a letter because of your views on trans, whatever. We don't want you at UConn, right? I tweeted the damn email because I didn't tweet my agent's email, because as much as I think he's a spineless fuck right now, I still like him. I still don't want to bring harm to him. I don't even want to say his name, because he's a cog in a shit machine, and he doesn't have the freedom to say no. I think some of these people are just fucked, and I have compassion for my ex-agent, and I don't want to bring that to him. But I will bring a little to the system as a whole, right? So same agency that sent little Gwyneth Paltrow to the jaws of Harvey Weinstein. Now, Harvey Weinstein's scandal touches all of Hollywood. And so, but the victim thing, yeah. So I get fired, I get stigmatized, people call me human garbage. People that I thought were my friends are now attacking me. People that I didn't realize were my as good of a friend as I do now have my back, which is beautiful. And thank you so much. Even just writing me stuff like, thanks for what you're doing, means the world to me, because it's very isolating being shunned by thousands and thousands of people, and people that were the heart of your career. But it's okay, because I have my family, I have my friends, I have my dignity, and being honest in the face of cruelty and bullies is a freedom and a feeling that you can't replicate. But this is what I'm watching out for. I'm not really a victim. I am in this situation, but I've had one of the most blessed lives ever. And so people don't really look at me like I'm a victim much. I'm a 6'7" white American male who was not from, you know, my family was on food stamps, but we got off the food stamps, and we got to be educated, and they love me, and my parents are still married, you know, all these things. And I have a healthy child and a beautiful wife who loves me. I'm lucky. I don't get to feel like a victim much. But it's intoxicating when people view you as a victim. It's intoxicating. Like when they go, poor Owen, these bad people are coming at you. And I go, yeah, you know, I'm going through a lot right now. I don't know if I can really help you move today. You know, it's been a rough week. And people go, oh, it's okay. And then you feel that tickle. Don't go down that road. I'm no victim. I went through some shit. I'm going to be stronger on the other end. It solidified my business plan and my ethical plan for the future, which is it's about the fans of comedy, the co-collaborators of comedy. The people that support me are the people that are listening or watching this right now that support me and like my comedy. And that's why it's weird. Like, the word fan doesn't cover it, because so many of you are so brilliant and so engaging and so generous and so alive that it's almost, I would call you collaborators. And I'm not being corny, that's real. I don't like the word fans. It's like, because I attract smart people. Like Amy even said so. She was like, the more away from this leftist cult Hollywood you get, the more your fans are like really smart. You know, we'll debate things. They understand what I'm saying. And my new thing is, I am not going for everybody. There are people that will look at me and say, that guy isn't at all funny. Like, I don't get it. He's full of hate. And then there's people that look at me and go, that's the funniest shit I've ever seen. I'm so glad he's out there. And those are the people I connect to, because why would I just want to go for everyone? There's people that you can't be dumb and understand some of the jokes I'm doing. Like my joke about being a progressive slave owner, about how, like, you know, I want to own slaves, but I'm not going to be racist, not black people. That's what made slavery so bad, was the bigotry. I'm like, I want all the people, you know, black, white, straight, cis, trans, gay, bi, non-binary. Be like, anybody that just can't outrun the nets and the harpoons, you're going to be my slave, but I'm a progressive. You know, that's a joke that you have to have a sense of intelligence to understand, or else you're triggered constantly. And then it's just a nightmare to explain humor to people. So I'm now facing this this German word of Schadenfreude. Because I'm watching all these people that just condemn me crashing and burning so bad, it's laughable. And then the last college I just did was Oswego State. They just sent me this big envelope full of thank you letters, like reinforcing that my connection to college kids is still just as strong as it's always been. It's these institutions that are crumbling. Student loans is the next bubble to burst. The student loan business and the college business itself expanded so big, it makes the 2008 housing crisis look like nothing. Because all these people are going to college are getting $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 in debt, federally backed, you cannot go bankrupt on, and you can't pay it back. Because college no longer ensures a better job for you. It's better just to learn how to build a house or carpentry or figure out how to make an app. College is a scam, right? So these colleges are now holding on to this moral authority because it's the only way people won't point out that it's a bubble about to be destroyed, right? Hollywood's the same way. Why did Hollywood exist? Because back in Charlie Chaplin's days, they didn't have lighting. So they had to go to a very sunny place. They originally started in Massachusetts, but there's no lighting. So they'd have to go to a place that was sunny all the time. So they went to LA and then they built from there. Then back when the Warner Brothers and all these dudes created all this awesome stuff. And there wasn't a lot of technology. So like the cameras that shot I Love Lucy and stuff were not available for the population. We now have means of distribution, full 4K HD cameras available for anybody fairly cheaply. And they're terrified because their product sucks. Jimmy Kimmel versus me. Can you imagine if he had to follow me on stage? Laughable. All those guys, that big just monolith of garbage, and they're just holding on. They're just taking orders. Jimmy Fallon cried at Cecil the Lion. He cried. The one cry that although I disagree with him politically completely about healthcare, completely, but when he cried about his son, I got jammed up because that looked real, right? I was like, that's a guy that knows fear and he'll do anything for his son, and I respect it, even though what he was saying makes no economic sense, but that's fine. But then when he cried about the gun control thing, I knew he was full of shit. Everyone knew he was full of shit. So I've been calling him out. And I'm like, so are you going to cry tonight about Harvey Weinstein's rape victims? No response. And not only didn't he had Matt Damon on, who now there's overwhelming evidence covered the rapes for Harvey Weinstein. So these people are full of shit. And it happened right after they attacked me. Like ferociously. So I'm trying really hard to not feel Schadenfreude. Because that's not a good emotion to feel. I should not feel joy. Because I will almost gleefully tweet these things. And I find myself smiling. And I'm like, does that make me a bad person? Is this bad? You know, because every emotion has a good version and a bad version. It's like the shadow self. You know, like envy has a good version. It's called admiration. You know, like I'll look at, it's like looking at Michael Jordan and being in awe of him and being like, wow, it's unbelievable someone can fly through the air. It's the same root emotion as saying, why can he do that and I can't? That's envy. Same thing. So my Schadenfreude is like right now it's teetering between I'm so glad they're suffering because they made me suffer versus the good version is the dance of the hypocrites, which is what I'm trying to focus on, where I'm doing this not to feel joy at their suffering, but because when you identify snakes, it's good for the whole village. That's a snake. That's a predator. It's good for people. And that, yeah. All right. So anyway, what was I going to talk about? And then also the same week in California, I mean, it's just spiraling. All this legislation, it's no longer a felony now to give someone AIDS intentionally in California. But the same week, that the thing that everyone kept saying on Twitter that would never happen in America, they kept saying it when I talk about Jordan Peterson and censorship and all that stuff, they'd say it's never coming here. It's now illegal to use the wrong gender pronoun with a trans person. Okay, so now it's more illegal to call someone who's biologically a male who wants to be seen as a female, if you say he That's more illegal than if he gives you AIDS without telling you intentionally. So it's all crashing, because that's what happens with Ponzi schemes. This is an emotional Ponzi scheme. It's an outrage Ponzi scheme. You know, calling everyone a racist no longer works. And now they had to call everyone a white nationalist, a Nazi, Hitler. Now that no longer works. So they're just scrambling. And it's all falling apart because the people who point the fingers are usually the ones that are doing, they're jerking off in a potted plant in front of a bunch of young girls like Harvey Weinstein. So it's all falling down. And I don't want to be happy about it. But see, this is another thing I'm trying to watch out for. Because now I'm using words like homo and fag. Because I see my point, but I also have a weird instinct against it. Okay. Using compassion as a weapon, which is what the political correct censorship machine is doing, leads to the making gender pronouns illegal and AIDS legal and all this shit and making your three-year-old wear a dress, right? That's what they're trying to do. It's just like when you listen to Harvey Weinstein, these audio tapes of him engaged in trying to rape women. It's like, yeah, let me see your tit. I'm not going to touch it. Just let me see your tit. Yeah, let me see. Come on, no. Don't go. Come back inside. Well, you know, no, that's all I'm going to do. I'm not even going to touch you. Oh, I'll touch it a little bit. Now I want more. They want one thing, to own your words. And they'll go one step at a time until they get it, right? So now I'm trying to go the opposite direction and use words that I can theoretically justify to kind of push the needle the other way, but I don't really enjoy it. Like, I don't feel glee or schadenfreude when I call someone a fag. I would never say gay people are fags, but I would say, like, Mark Zuckerberg is a fag. And I'm still gonna do that. But my friend Fortune is a lesbian comedian, really, really good person. We get in, like, I think we have a weird, very interesting dynamic. Well, we're definitely on different ends of the political spectrum, and all our friends are very different. But she's from, I think, south of North Carolina, and she's has that analytical brain, and she means good, and just like me. And we'll get involved in these Twitter back and forths that aren't mean, but I felt a little guilt when she was like, can you not say fag? And I'm like, I didn't back down, but in my mind, I'm like, I don't want to say fag in front of Fortune. But I also don't want to, like, comply to a thing I know will lead to something horrible. So these are the things I'm wrestling with right now. I'm going to keep it fairly tight. I just wanted to tell that story and thank people for having my back, because I was a victim, but I'm not anymore. And it's tight, you know? It's knowing that, like, a lot of stand-up dates aren't going to come in like they used to for me, but it opens up a whole new market of just doing it myself, which is where it's going anyway. And I'm going to do another hour special as soon as I hit 10 grand. I'm over 3 grand already. And your Patreon is always very important. Patreon.com/WDTL. Because I think social media will eventually crash. I think paying for what you want will end up being the thing again. South Park covered it very well. But It's ads. It's the ads that slip in on social media and then disguise themselves as news stories and then disguise them, and then the political agendas that are, anything that's paid for so that you get free content will eventually manifest itself into a fucking nightmare. And so just an extra whatever to get away from that is worth it. And it is. I can get a job right now that pays me fine. I'm passionate about this. I was a comic when it was a bad call for me to be a comic, when it was a financial, horrific decision. I made money on it. I bought houses on it. You know, but I never got rich. I never got in that point where I could be like, yeah, fire me, CAA. I can just out. We still are, you know, not... You know, it's scary. I mean, I because of social media and a bunch of, like, conservative, libertarian, anarchists, like, people like that, people that also don't like these people, like, a few lawyers reached out to UConn and made them pay me. So they ended up paying me. So that was huge. But if they didn't, I was fucked for that month. And not fucked. You know, I can pull liquidity out of real estate, I don't know why I'm telling you all this shit. But it's like, we can beat them. If you have a group, you can win. Because that's the thing, is it's all about compliance. It's about silence. It's about not saying that guy. And there's more sexual predators in Hollywood that I know of. But it's not my place right now. Because another thing, I don't want to do a moral crusade, because those guys are annoying too. There's people that I'm 99% sure that are very, very in your face that couldn't be more creepy from stories I've heard. But they didn't do it to me, so I can't speak in first person. And it just isn't my place. Because that's... if it starts going, I'll fight with you, but it's... There's people that have, like, faced... There's people with power that have been victimized by sexual predators, and I have no fucking idea why you're not calling these people out. And that's not victim blaming. That's something these motherfuckers do to keep people quiet. They say, don't victim shame. I'm not. If you're a victim and you want to stay quiet, go for it. But if you have a platform and you can burn them, they're weak right now. It's like fighting. There's a wobble. They're being outed as perverts. And if you... It's one thing to be quiet, but if you do like what Gwyneth Paltrow did and vouch and say, Harvey Weinstein, you are God, even though he raped you, like you're fucked up. So like, if someone victimized you, tell the villagers, you know? And then we can all go back to normal. And my show is great. It's never been better. Like, my live show is not this intense. I do not preach on my live show. I do funny shit. I don't attack people that don't deserve it. That's seen as viciously right-wing. I'm now taking that as a compliment, by the way. If someone was like, well, you're a liberal though, right? I'd be like, no. Not these days. Because what you have to comply to is so crazy. You know, pronouns over AIDS. My three-year-old. I mean, it's like the normalization of that. And the left always pushes this word normalization. Look at Sean Spicer normalizing his behavior. Harvey Weinstein fucked all their friends. And guess what? Brad Pitt didn't do shit about it. Like the thing about these predators, it's not about sex. And you hear that a lot. There's probably times it is. There's probably sexual predators that just are animals. But these specific brand, and I know this brand because I've interacted with them. And I'll tell you right now, it isn't about sex, it's about power. They want you to know they're sexual predators. And they want you to be quiet about it. Like that one executive that grabbed Terry Crews' dick. And Terry Crews went on this long thing about how he had PTSD and he understands victim. But he still wouldn't name the guy. Which is what gets them off. Is that Harvey Weinstein, everybody knew. Seth MacFarlane mocked him about it during like the 2013 Oscars. And everyone just went, they get off. It's not about sex. If you want a lot of sex, get married to a chick who loves sex and loves you, and you'll just get a lot of sex. Just fucking do it. It's about power. It's about someone saying, I can get your wife. I can grab your dick in front of you. You know, I could rape you and then watch you thank me on a stage and everyone clap. That's what evil is. And you got to stand up to it. Because it only grows, and it grows in you. I mean, if you ever look at these people, look at their divorce rate. Look at how they never find happiness. They can have as many golden trophies as they want. And if you allow these things, you don't ever feel pride. When you win, I've been preaching about this for a while. When they win, they condemn. Think about how fucked up in the head you have to be to do that. When you get a trophy, and you don't just melt with like, I can't believe this. No, they say, this is just the beginning. We must take down white supremacy. The KKK can't even adopt a fucking highway. They tried to adopt a highway. No one let them adopt a highway. They won't let the KKK pick up trash. You think that's the problem, or the fact the guy who produced your fucking movie fucked a young girl? And then you told everyone he was fine, so he got to fuck more and more and more. Like you will never feel joy, pride. You only feel what I'm trying to avoid, which is the delight in other sadness. Schadenfreude, whatever the fuck those crazy Germans invented. Don't do that. I felt it. We all fight it. There are no good people and there are no bad people. The line between good and evil goes straight down the middle of a man's heart, right? But if you don't try to be good and you accept the bad and embrace it and profit off it, your life's going to suck. Because there's a reason it's called evil. It's a bad world, man. And it's not only bad for your victims, it's bad for you. You will never feel that. You know, like when you see a commercial or you see these movies where you have that happy couple in bed and they know it. You're like, they know it. These people have to fake what they'll never have. Think about the tragedy of that shit. Don't do it like you're giving 10% to charity. Don't do it out of obligation. Do it because when you do it, you get pride. You know, it's like support my comedy. If you don't have any money, fine. Just share it. Tell people I'm funny. Spread it. Be like, this is funny shit. I want this out there because when you act, it makes you feel pride. And then when good things happen, you feel joy and not hate and resentment. You know, these Jennifer Lawrences and all these people, you know, they fucking get 20 million and they say, why don't I have 23 million? That fucking guy got 23 million. Why do I only have 20 million? And everyone goes, oh, you sick. You're sick in the fucking head. All right, much love. So patreon.com/WDTL, hugepianist.com. And don't think I never wanted to be the guy pitching for donations or pitching for support. But that's the way the world is now. And I've accepted that. And it's not charity. I'm not a charity case. You know, I have shame with that shit because of the food stamps as a kid. My brother and I talked about that for the first time in our lives. The shame that we felt with food stamps. And we never wanted handouts. That's why I got a job when I was 9. You know, I was a paper boy. And I also picked cans out of a garbage, out of trash. My mom would drive me to like events, like the Speedway and the college campus and all that stuff. And I would pick nickels because that felt better than taking free shit, right? So, but this isn't just for me. It's for all of us. Because if you support comedians that you like, you'll get comedy you like. And you won't just have to watch Jimmy fucking Fallon and Jimmy Kimmel cry. Because they can't even do their job tonight because something really sad fucking happened. No, I won't cry in those situations. If you see me cry, it's super authentic and you won't be mad at it. You're not going to think, oh, this guy's trying to push legislation that's going to make me unsafe. All right, much love. I love you guys. Peace.